This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz. Hi there, my name's John Leary and you are listening to The Saturday Quiz. Every week I am joined by a different pair of guests who try to come up with the correct answers to the 10 questions from the quiz in The Saturday Paper. Joining me this week is an actor and a writer. The actor is currently appearing in the revisionist western set in the Victorian goldfields, New Gold Mountain, which you can watch right now on SBS On Demand. And the writer is, among countless other things, one of the writers of that very same TV series. Welcome to the show, Mabel Lee and Benjamin Law.
Hello.
Thanks so much for having us, Johnny.
Thanks
I'm
for
excited.
Joining me.
Thanks, Johnny.
Now, Ben, you were just asking Mabel a second ago whether she does quizzes on the weekend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Mabel, what was your answer?
Absolutely not. So, yeah.
Okay. But Ben, I'm assuming that you are a bit more quiz savvy.
Yeah, but when I do like a proper weekend newspaper quiz, the Saturday Paper or any of its other fine competitors, which we won't mention here, but I do come out of it feeling...
Wait a minute, you write
basic.
For one of the competitors, so...
Oh, we don't need to talk about that. But I come out of it feeling so basic, Johnny, and the thing is... during lockdown, so I'm usually on Gadigal land in Sydney, and during lockdown, I actually had to kind of pause those other general knowledge news quizzes because I was feeling so basic and start doing Jess Maguire, Melbourne icon, her mm-hmm. pop culture quizzes because I co-host Stop Everything on Radio National, so I'm a bit of a pop culture fiend, and I'm like, okay, I'm not so basic. I do know some things. So, yeah, test me on my geography. I'll struggle.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to say that the question number one is actually a geography question.
Oh, bloody hell.
Oh, no.
You'll be okay, though.
I just changed it out. I just said that, didn't I?
I don't have that power, I'm afraid. What about, Mabel, if you were to do quizzes,
mm-hmm.
do you think you might have an area of expertise?
Yes, I have a couple areas of expertise, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, I know the scientific name for a killer whale. So if that specific question were to be okay. asked, I could answer that very confidently.
Oh,
The dish is at Yum Cha. As I said before.
You're speaking my language. Literally, you are.
Yes. And also, probably the K-pop bands that I listened to in year seven. I could name their names and probably their hit songs only of that time. So right. very specific categories.
Would you be able to sing the albums chronologically in fluent Korean?
It wouldn't be in fluent Korean and I could offend some people, so probably not.
So maybe don't do that.
But I'd be passionate.
That's the main thing. Yeah. That's an actor's response. It's all in the performance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's find out how you do with the actual questions right after this.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Mabel Lee and Benjamin Law. Here we go with question number one. It is geography, but I think you'll be all right. By area, which country is larger, France or Spain?
Okay, Mabel, do you have any hunches? Because I just want to put it out there that I've only been to Europe once in my life and I've spent 3 days in each of those countries. So apology to French and Spanish listeners.
I didn't walk across
the whole perimeter of each of those countries, Johnny.
I've never been to Europe, nor have I really ever been close. So I'm just going to confidently say an answer.
Yes.
Is it going to be like who colonized the most territories? What's it going to be based on? Is it like how far their cuisine has extended, Mabel?
I like
it.
What are you doing? But let me tell you that it is purely the size of their European presence, not their, not any colonies.
That shouldn't be a metric anyway, because like when you think about the Dutch and Netherlands, for instance, it's not like they have that much landmass, and look at their influence all around the world, right? Mabel, I'm going to hand it to you so I don't sound like I feel.
So I'm just going to use the same passionate confidence. I'm going to just say Spain.
I was going to say Spain as well, but okay. are we both wrong, Johnny?
Are we both basic?
Well, look, you are both wrong.
Okay.
Every listener is going, of course they're wrong. They're honking their horns while listening to the podcast in traffic going, what the hell, Ben and Mabel?
But look, it is very close.
Oh, okay.
It is very close. France is the third largest country in Europe after, do you know what? Would be one and two in Europe.
Like, I just want to say Germany because of their economy. But again, why would you base it on these other metrics? We're just talking about landmass.
Just landmass. Let me tell you, after Russia and Ukraine, they're one and two.
Oh, of course, okay. Is Russia considered a part of Europe, though? They're not trading in euros.
I didn't say the European Union. I just said the continent of Europe.
Okay, which Olympic ring are they represented by? Let's discuss.
So, France is the third largest country in Europe after Russia and Ukraine, and it's the largest country in the European Union, whereas Spain claims that it's the largest country in Southern Europe.
Oh.
The second largest country in Western Europe and the European Union, and the fourth largest country by area on the European continent.
Wow. There's just a part of me that wonders, like, should it just be about size, Johnny? This feels like a very patriarchal kind of contest.
Size matters here. Spain is 505,990 square kilometres, while continental France is 543,940 square kilometres. But if you include France's five overseas regions, that kicks it up to 670.
I have a hard time even knowing what those numbers mean. Like if you tell me, Johnny, like that's X number amount of IKEA Tempe's, then maybe I'd understand. But I don't even know what you're saying. My spatial awareness is very poor.
All right. Well, that was a big swing and a miss on question number one, I'm afraid. Question number two, though, which organ of the human body produces insulin?
Oh, I want to say the gallbladder.
Don't, though.
Oh. The adrenal gland?
No, it's not the adrenal gland.
Is it the pancreas?
It is the pancreas.
Oh, I love how you gave us three goes, Johnny. I'm not sure that's
You get as many goes
allowed.
As you
need. Oh, okay. Third time lucky.
Yeah, well done.
You're like a very encouraging teacher, Johnny. It's just like, you got there eventually. You got there.
That's what I'm here for. Now, did you know, as a service, I will let you know that more than 60% of the people with diabetes in the world live in or are from Asian countries.
Oh,
wow.
Okay. Yeah.
That seems racist.
My apologies.
I feel attacked. How dare you confront us with a biological reality?
That's very discriminatory.
Well, apparently it's the prevalence of white rice being largely to blame.
Oh, so is rice being racist towards us? Yeah. What's going on? This is like our lactose intolerance issues all over again, because a lot of East Asians have lactose intolerance. It's a very adjacent to alcohol red face as well.
Yeah.
Not feeling great.
Sorry.
Well, that's devastating. White rice is life.
Exactly. And that's why it's
also death. Yeah.
It's also death. All right, question number three. What is the title of the Australian television series sequel to Packed to the Rafters?
Oh, I know this. Packed to
the Rafters. No, I've seen the billboards. I've seen the billboards. It's like basically the name, but it's like more or even more packed to the rafters.
Extra packed,
packed too furious.
Is it back to the rafters?
Mabel, it is.
Yes, Mabel. Yes. To the rafters. What I like about that answer, Mabel, is you showed you're working.
I'm working by looking at other people work, yes.
Yes. Yeah, you showed more of the working actually then, Benjamin.
Oh, okay.
You were doing the two-packed, two rafters?
Two-packed, two furious.
Well done. Back to the rafters. Did either of you watch Packed to the Rafters when it was first on? It was very popular when it was first on.
It was super popular. Yeah. No, I remember watching Pack to the Rafters adjacent shows like Always Greener. I didn't like that, but Pack to the Rafters.
But not Packed. No. What about you, Mabel? Mm. Not so much?
No, I never watched it. I was more, I think probably during that time I was doing the Blue Water High, maybe.
Probably, which
is an iconic show as well.
Yeah, okay. All right, question number four. Alexei Leonov was the first person to do what?
Okay, so Russian bloke.
Yeah.
Russian, very much.
I mean, as soon as I hear that name, I think chess. I think political intrigue involving poison. I think of a lot of other racist cliches involving Russians.
Well, look, it is probably a racist cliche, but not really racist. But,
wait, what was his full name again? Alexei
Leonov. So L-E-O-N-O-V.
And he was the first to do something.
He was the first person to do something, yes. So what was that thing?
Is it in a science realm?
It is, yeah, it's in the science realm.
Okay. Is it in a nuclear realm?
Not really, okay. No.
He was not the first person to cause Chernobyl, Mabel, if that's what you were asking.
No, honestly, he wasn't. I just thought to the HBO series.
Not Chernobyl related. Much earlier than Chernobyl.
Okay.
Yeah, almost 20 years before Chernobyl this happened.
Oh, like did he discover something?
He didn't discover something. But it was in the pursuit of discovery.
Oh, was he the first to... Oh, this is pre-Chernobyl, you said. I was about to say, was he the first person to clone something? But that came in, I think, in the 1990s.
They were Scottish, the ones that did that.
That was Dolly the Sheep. Dolly the Sheep.
Is he a doctor?
He was not a doctor. Okay. He was a cosmonaut.
Oh. So was he the first person to go into... Well, the first person who landed on the moon was American.
Correct.
But the cosmonauts were in a race to get into outer space.
You're getting there, Ben.
He was to the breach the atmosphere.
Not the first person to do that.
No, because they would have done that on their way to the moon. Realm. He was the first person
What do you do in space if you're an astronaut or a cosmonaut?
Oh, they spacewalk?
Yes.
Yes.
He was the first person to perform a walk in space or a spacewalk.
Wait a minute. That just feels like, I don't know. So I'm not questioning the fact, but like, okay, so Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, they walked on the moon.
Yeah.
And as they descended the ladder, wouldn't part of that involved a bit of walking
in space? But they weren't the first to do
that.
Oh, I see. This guy did it
before they hit the moon. Then. Oh, wow.
Yeah, like years before.
I love how I'm just like, wow, what a twist, but this has happened in history and it can be looked up on Wikipedia.
Exactly. Yes, he went on the 18th of March, 1965. He went outside the spacecraft for 12 minutes and 9 seconds. And he was the first person to do that. And apparently, at the end of the spacewalk, Leonov's spacesuit had inflated in the vacuum of space to the point where he could no longer re-enter the airlock.
So oh, my he was, God.
Yeah, how terrifying is that? So he opened a little valve to allow a little bit of the suit's pressure to bleed off, and he was able to get back inside the capsule.
Oh, my gosh. Why haven't we seen that committed to cinema yet? I mean, it's probably been committed to Russian cinema, and we're just ignorant of it.
It may have been. He is very famous in Russia. He was actually selected to be the first Russian to set foot on the moon, but that mission was cancelled after the Americans got there first. And he was also luckily pulled from another mission at the last minute, which ended in disaster and the deaths of the three cosmonauts on board, earning them the dubious honour of being the only people to have died in space.
Oh, my God. Wow. Such drama. Yeah.
Such now, drama.
Flash forward to now, and it's just like William Shatner's just going to empty his savings to go on a leisurely trip.
I know. For how long, I wonder? Minutes.
Wow.
But, yes, very well done. Alexei Leonov was the first person to go on a spacewalk.
Oh, we got there eventually.
You did. All right. Question number 5. In the phrase raison d'être, what is the name for the accent above the first E? And there's a bonus point for the meaning of the phrase. How's your French?
Terrible. You're talking, I mean, like, where are the Cantonese questions? Come on.
This is silly.
So,
my apologies.
I'm thinking that the meaning is like reason for being, right?
Yes, exactly right.
So that's the meaning. But in terms of the accent, whenever I use the Macintosh laptop shortcut, I'm like, it's just an accent.
Yeah.
but do you know
which one it is?
But is it the ascending one, or is it the kind of one that looks like a little bit of an inverted V cap?
Yeah, it's the one that's like a little open-ended triangle.
Oh, yeah. I call that one the Handmaid's Tale bonnet, but that's not what it's called, is it?
No, that's not the official name.
If I said it in a French accent, would it be correct?
No, I don't know. If you said it in French, maybe.
Oh, the honk. No, I'm not going to do it.
Mabel, do you know? Do you speak multiple languages? I know you speak several languages.
I do.
But is French one of them?
I actually did French for a year before I went to drama school, and I don't know this, which sort of shows that I don't think anyone needs to know this, and we can skip the question. I'd say it's a little hat.
A little hat.
Technical.
What about if I tell you that the translation of the word, we get the name of this thing from Latin, and it means bent around.
Mm. Bent around.
I'll tell you that it starts with C. What is the part of a circle that is like the outer rim?
The perimeter?
No, starting with C.
The circumference, sorry.
Yeah, right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got the first bit, which is circumcise.
Please tell us.
It is circumflex.
Mabel does have the face of, that's interesting. No recognition.
That's interesting, but I've never heard of that
No
before.
Recognition no. whatsoever. And she's an actor. If she wanted to act recognition, she could. She's not even going there.
Yeah, I cannot commit to that at this moment.
Okay, circumflex. That's what that little accent above the E.
We learnt something great today. And also, pretty cool word. It sounds like a drag queen name. Circumflex.
It could be, right? And it means bent around. So, you know.
Bent name for a bent queen.
Yeah.
All right. Bent. On that note, we're going to take another little break. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Saturday Quiz. I'm with Mabel Lee and Benjamin Law, and they are up to question number 6. Name the new Deputy Premier of New South Wales.
Oh, Mabel, do you know this one? I do. Sorry, that's very like, I do. Oh, wait a minute.
I know this.
Okay.
So the treasurer is Matt Keane, right? The premier
I'll take your word for it. I don't have that information in front of me.
The premier is now Dominic Perrottet, or if you want to use the Timothée Chalamet pronunciation, Dominé Perrottet. Maybe I don't know who it is. I see his face.
No, that's federal. Oh my God.
So there's Dominé Perrottet. And then he needed someone. So Dominic is of the right faction. Yeah. And so I'm assuming that he needed someone from the New South Wales Liberal. Oh, no, wait a minute. It would be the Nationals. It would be the new head of the Nationals.
It is indeed the new South Wales head of the Nationals. Yes, after John Barilaro
jumped ship. It's so funny you're asking this question, Johnny, because when the news bulletin came on saying, this is the new Nationals leader, and I chuckled to myself, and I'm like, I've never seen him before in my life. And I never thought about it ever again. And now we're here.
If you had thought about it again, you would know the answer to this question.
That's why I had that blank in my brain, because I'm like, wait, on the Liberal side, there's Dominic Perrottet, then there's Matt Keane, and I'm like, someone's missing.
So PT are his initials.
Is it Peter?
No, it's the other P.
Paul.
It is Paul.
Paul. Okay. T, so Tenenbaum.
Not so fruity. Nothing so fruity.
Paul Parnaby Toyce.
Trennery.
He's the leader of the New South Wales Nationals.
Johnny, you are literally going to tell us his name, and again, I'll be like, yeah. It won't be a look of recognition. It won't be a look of, oh, drat, I knew that one. I'm telling you now, I saw the news the other day and I was like, I have no idea who that man is.
His name is Paul Toole.
Oh.
Paul Toole is the new Deputy Premier of New South Wales.
I want to say after you said that, oh, I won't forget it now, but I reckon I'll forget it.
Yeah, if I ask you in a week, probably you'll
look for I'll be like, it's
Peter.
Matt Keane's the treasure. It's Peter.
Yeah, it's Peter.
Peter something.
Tenenbaum. Mm.
All right, question number 7. Which singer-songwriter links the albums Clouds, Blue, and Hejira?
Oh, Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell is 100% correct.
Hmm.
No pause.
I was just like, is that going to be a trick question? Because I'm like, it's Joni Mitchell. It's Joni Mitchell.
Yeah, it's definitely Joni Mitchell.
And also, this year is the 50th birthday of Blue, which is one of my favourite records.
Oh. Is it really?
Hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Happy birthday,
Blue.
That
is a great album.
Hmm. I've never listened to it.
Oh, Mabel, you're in for a treat. Whenever people say that, I actually get excited for them. I'm like, oh. You get to listen to Joni Mitchell's Blue
for the first time.
It's going to be a special night.
My future's
blast
bright.
It loud. Yeah.
It really should. Yeah. That's a really good one. All right. Question number 8. Very well done, Benjamin. You got that without any hesitation.
I like Joni Mitchell.
Question number 8. During the American Civil War, the Union and Confederates respectively wore uniforms of what predominant colours?
Black and purple?
Black and purple?
It wasn't black and purple. I feel like you're describing the non-binary flag. It's just like there's a bit of purple in there.
Yeah, that's
yellow.
A revolutionary colour.
I don't know. Like my immediate instinct is to say red and blue, but I'm not sure that's right either. I just associate those colours with American binaries.
Sorry, I don't think I even registered your question properly. Can you just say that again?
Yeah, sure.
I think I was thinking about something else. Okay, yeah.
Yes, during the American Civil War, the Union and the Confederates respectively wore uniforms of what predominant colours?
Not black and purple. So they both wore, are you saying one side wore one colour and the other side wore another?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
Because I want to say that one side is red.
Yeah, red.
No.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
No,
okay.
Couldn't be wronger.
Oh, so if I couldn't be wronger, what's the opposite of red? The opposite of red is green.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. you could be a little wronger.
Okay.
I'm just going to go through the whole colour wheel. Yeah. John, and I'm like, oh, yeah, magenta. That's what it is. Yeah, fuchsia.
No.
Black?
Teal.
No, you said
no,
black,
it wasn't black.
Oh, God.
Because, well, I don't know why. And actually, I couldn't work out why they chose these colours, except to say that one of the colours, which was adopted by the Union, so the North, was the already accepted colour of the military in the early US.
So blue?
Blue is correct.
Okay.
Well done.
Okay, so we've got
and
one
And so
down.
The Confederates chose a different colour because they needed to differentiate themselves. But they didn't go a million miles away.
Okay, if they didn't go a million miles away from blue, I mean, first of all, very confusing in a war. Maybe you
it
should
was
take-
very confusing because they would also... Cloth became scarce in the South, and so the principal source of Confederate uniforms became captured Union uniforms, which were dark blue. They would boil them in a solution with walnut hulls, acorns, and lye, and... That would be
would that,
the so colour that they blue? Would...
So a light blue? Like a baby blue?
No, it would come out as a sort of light tan, which the Southerners called butternut.
Oh, well that
But that wasn't their official colour. When they first started the war, they had another colour.
Oh, so wait, there's a whole other colour that we haven't touched upon yet? I'm like, haven't we named every colour? Orange.
Orange.
Is it red? Is it purple? Is it green? Is it lime?
It's more a shade.
Lilac. Camel.
Lavender. Chartreuse.
No, let me tell you, it was grey.
We forgot about that one.
Was just grey. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, you're having a face of non-recognition of just acceptance.
But yeah, they were often at a loss to determine which side of the war a soldier was on based on his uniform.
Well, that's a very American story.
Indeed. All right. Question number 9. The symbol Ouroboros.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Depicts which creature biting its own tail?
A snake.
Yeah, a snake or a serpent.
It's like the Auron from the Neverending Story is essentially an Ouroboros. It was depicted in the film as two snakes that were completely intertwined in a braid. But in the novel by Michael Ende, it's just a simple Ouroboros.
Ben, you are not basic. Let me tell you that now. That is not basic information.
But you see how all of my answers delivered with confidence are just like, it's pop culture. It's Joni Mitchell and the Neverending Story.
Good on you. That got you there. I mean, we get the word Ouroboros from the Greek words for tail and eating, and the earliest depictions are found in ancient Egypt, where it is interpreted as a symbol for eternal cyclic renewal, or a cycle of life, death, and rebirth. All right, we're up to the final question. You ready?
let's do it.
Here we go. Question number 10. Manny Pacquiao has retired from boxing to concentrate on his bid to win which country's presidential election?
Oh, is it the Philippines?
It is the Philippines.
Okay.
Well done.
Nice. You know, the only thing I did was I'm like, I don't know anything about boxing. I don't know who this person is. But Manny, Filipino name, and is the name of, you know, the hot guy from The Good Place, the hot guy from Nine Perfect Strangers, Manny, someone, I can just see his face and chest, but I don't know. Manny Jacinto.
Yes, Manny Jacinto. Very well done.
Right. So, yeah, I'm just working from, again, pop culture.
Again, pop culture, yeah.
And applying it backwards. Yeah.
Wow. You don't know, Mabel, anything about Manny Pacquiao?
No, not a boxing fan? No, I don't.
Well, let me tell you this. He was elected to the House of Reps in the 15th Congress of the Philippines in a landslide in 2010. He then moved to the Senate in 2016, and he has a professional boxing record of 62 wins, 7 losses, and 2 draws as a professional, with 39 wins by way of knockout. And some experts consider him to be the greatest southpaw fighter of all time. He's the only boxer to have won major world titles in 8 different weight classes.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take one last break. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mabel Lee, Benjamin Law, thanks so much for doing the quiz.
Oh, thank you, Johnny.
Thanks so much, Johnny.
You did really well.
We got there. Wait, what was our score at the end?
I don't keep a score. I just, you know, you just get
the main takeaway, I think, from all of that isn't the score, but that Mabel gets to listen to Joni Mitchell's Blue for the first time today. And I think that's really special. I'm so envious.
Yeah.
And also, we're trying to bust the model minority thing. Or I am. Benjamin, you really carried the team, but, you know. Sort of came
more Asian mediocrity. That's what we
exactly. I was very mediocre at that, and I stand by it.
There's too much Asian excellence. Asian okayness is what I'm comfortable with, especially in 2021.
And just one final question: what is the name of the Deputy Premier of New South Wales?
Peter Tenenbaum.
Peter Toole.
Paul Tool. Joyce Barnaby. Barnaby Tool.
Well, thank you. It's been great having you on.
Thanks so much, Johnny.
And everyone should watch New Gold Mountain
on SBS and SBS On Demand. Get to it.
Excellent. Ooh. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Saturday Quiz. Thank you to my guests, Mabel Lee and Benjamin Law. Catch Mabel in New Gold Mountain right now on SBS On Demand. I can't let this episode go by without mentioning the review I received last week on Apple Podcasts. The reviewer calls themselves A Snail Called Bevney, and they wrote one of the nicest things about the show ever, likening it to a warm hug from their mum. Thanks, Bevney. If anyone thinks they can top that, I'd love to see you try. Thank you, as ever, to the wonderful Cindy McDonald for writing the questions. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you. Same time next week.